Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We're just about halfway through Advent, almost, but not quite. And so my question has been from the very beginning of this season, are you preparing your heart? We spend so much time preparing our homes, and that's great. And preparing good meals for others. And that's very good, very good. We all appreciate that. But what God looks for most is, are you preparing your heart to receive Him? Is your heart house cleaned, so to speak, your mind, your spirit? Is it ready for the visit of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. So John the Baptist cried out, a voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Are you preparing the way of the Lord? Are you preparing your heart for Him? It's very, very, very important. I know so many of us, when it comes Advent, we think, okay, now I have to do this and do this and do this and buy these things and get these things ready and prepare this and wrap these presents. And some of us are very organized in how we go about this season to get all of those things done. And yet we come to Christmas and miss the most important thing. Is your heart and mind and spirit ready to receive the Savior of the world into your heart and into your life? We're not commemorating a past event. We're commemorating an eternal reality that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that anyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Do you believe? That's what ought to be dead center in your heart, that God the Father loved you so much that He gave you a Savior. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't expiate the sin. We don't have the power to do that because we're sinful ourselves. So He gave us a Savior. How often do you thank Him? How often do you say to the Father, thank you for giving me your Son, Jesus, your only beloved Son, to save me? Thank you. How often do we say to Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for being willing to say yes to the Father for our sake? How often do you just thank Him? We need to do that, brothers and sisters. This is a real relationship, you know. This is not just some idea or some type. This is reality. This is not some symbol. You have a Father who loves you and a Son who so loved the Father that He gave His life to save you for all eternity. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the paths of your only begotten Son, that through His coming we may be found worthy to serve you with minds made pure. We can only be found worthy insofar as we're found in Christ. That's how we become worthy, by receiving the precious blood of the Son of God covering us and cleansing us and taking away our wounds and our sin. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the paths of your only begotten Son, that through His coming we may be found worthy to serve you with minds made pure. Can you pray that prayer? Can you allow your heart to be stirred up? First reading is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 13 to 20. I am the Lord your God, who grasp your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, O worm Jacob, O maggot Israel. We're such a mess sometimes. We are like worms and maggots. I will help you, says the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. I will make of you a threshing sledge, sharp, new, and double-edged, to thresh the mountains and crush them, to make the hills like chaff. When you winnow them, the wind shall carry them off, and the storm shall scatter them. But you, those who are faithful to him, you shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The afflicted and the needy seek water in vain. Their tongues are parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Look at that, brothers and sisters. The afflicted, the needy, the tongues parched with thirst. Thirst for truth, thirst for love, thirst for peace, thirst for happiness of some kind. The afflicted and the needy seek water in vain. Their tongues are parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Look at that promise. I will open up rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the broad valleys. I will turn the desert into a marshland and the dry ground into springs of water. I will plant in the desert the cedar, the acacia, myrtle, and olive. I will set in the wasteland the cypress together with the plane tree and the pine, that all may see and know, observe and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. I am your God, is what he's saying. I will care for you. I will give you new life. Will you trust me? Will you come to me? The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. That's Psalm 145. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord. Let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. Let them make known to men your might and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. For your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages, and your dominion endures through all generations. Psalm 145, it also says, the Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. Do you regularly thank the Lord? Do you look at the Psalms of thanksgiving? Look them, 150 psalms. You'll find quite a number that are psalms of praise and thanksgiving. Make that a regular part of your life. Because the Word of God, remember, the Word of God itself is living. The Word of God is active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. That Word can change your life. It has power. It's not just words on a printed page. It's living Word. It brings the grace, the mercy, the peace, the hope, the joy. It brings forgiveness and reconciliation. It brings hope and love. The Word of God is living. Read that Word often. Read that Word daily. Make it a part of your life. Feed and nourish your soul. And then you'll begin to see the world very differently than you do now, perhaps. And the gospel is the gospel of Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 to 15. Jesus said to the crowds, "Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent are taking it by force. All the prophets and the law prophesied up to the time of John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah, the one who is to come. Whoever has ears ought to hear." Jesus is saying to people that he is the Messiah, and they don't get it. They can't connect the dots. Because they never expected God to come in the flesh. It just was not within their realm of possibility. Even conceive that idea wasn't there. Yet there were some who read the Old Testament prophecies and wondered, what does this mean that a Savior will come? And so they thought that their Savior would come with great power and majesty, and he would rescue the Jews. He would spare them. He would save them. He would come with his armies. He would come with power and glory that was unparalleled. They had great dreams of the way their king would come. And so when he came the way he did, a humble baby, they scoffed. And many rejected. Many said, no way. This can't be the Messiah. And they wanted to kill Jesus as a blasphemer of one who was trying to imitate. Someone who was trying to take the part of. They wanted to destroy him. Because he uttered blasphemy. They couldn't see. They were blind and they were deaf, brothers and sisters, blind and deaf. And oftentimes that's how we are. Our Savior has come. Our Savior is here. Our Savior right now is seeking to save you from your sin. Remember what I said the other day? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. We can be burdened down with sin. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, not the yoke of Satan, not the yoke that other people try to put on you. Take my yoke, for my burden is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Things are always lighter, even humanly, when you have somebody doing it with you. And Jesus wants to walk with you. The very Savior of the world wants to walk with you and help to carry your burden in this life. Why would you not want someone to save you? Many people are afraid because they think, oh, I've trusted in God and then this happened, or I was sure this would happen and it didn't happen. So, well, if there is a God, he doesn't care about me. We've been hurt, and so we want to hold him at arm's length. We don't want to trust again. Trust him. Make an act of trust this Christmas. Make an act of trust in front of the manger. Trust him. Trust him. Jesus is the Savior of the world, and Jesus came in the flesh as a poor, simple, helpless baby, so that you would not be afraid. If he had come leading the armies of heaven, you would have been utterly terrified. He wants your love. And he comes in the easiest way for a human adult to love. He comes as a baby. And he comes for your sake. And if you were the only person on the face of the earth, he would have sent his son for you. That's how infinitely priceless you are. Every soul is to God. Won't you seriously, if you've been away from the Lord for a long time, won't you seriously look at coming back? Won't you ask him to help you, to trust him? Won't you just ask him to forgive your sin? Won't you just ask him to help you? That's all Jesus wants to do for us right now. Help us and free us from our sin. Please open your heart and receive him. May God abundantly bless you as you prepare for this great feast. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.